Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So here we go.
You better buckle up, Buttercup.
And a whole new attitude to your afternoon.
I want to know what's going on, and I want to know right now.
You know, two dudes talking sports.
And you two will be awesome.
Live from News Talk 1480 WHBC.
It's a household name.
Who the hell are you?
It's the Kenny and JT Show.
Have a great show.
I want to check myself. I can't believe that it's real, but it looks like the sun is out again. And we are coming to you live from the corner of 6th and Market, beautiful downtown Canton, Kenny, where it happens to be 27 sun-drenched degrees. I better pinch myself.
It did feel warmer than what the temperature said it was because of the sun today. No doubt about it. I took Frankie out this morning for a walk and to do some business. And sure enough, it felt like, my goodness, like 40 degrees.
Dreaming?
It felt warm as all. So.
I just don't know if I'm dreaming or not. Is today Groundhog Day? I mean, what the hell's going on out here?
Thursday, hey. Tomorrow. Tomorrow's Punxsutawney
Field like, Day. Sounded like the coach there, didn't I? Little Lombardi?
What the hell's going on?
What the hell? Is that the sun?
We got a seal here and a seal there. And
grab, grab,
Everybody's grabbing.
Yeah, grab, grab, grab. Well, the Cavaliers didn't grab a victory last night over the Miami Heat at home, and I'm still pissed about it because same old, down the stretch, turning the ball. Isaac Okoro steps out of bounds, doesn't know where the – where the heck he is on the court. He steps out of bounds. A lazy one-handed pass from Darius Garland through four people gets stolen away. I mean, stupid mistakes. No. And do you realize in the last 3 minutes, they took four shots, and all four of them were three-point shots, and they were 11 for 40 from three-point range.
Yeah, the excuse-o-meter is they're a young team. Oh. They're going up against a veteran team, and, you know, I'm tired of hearing about it because they've played long enough together, and you're still sitting there waiting for Dean Wade to show up, Ricky Rubio to show up. If I'm going to have to hang my hat on those two, then I'm looking at this team coming towards the trade deadline, and I look at it this way, and like you, I was really ticked off watching that game. And three games come to mind that they just can't close out on. A couple of weeks ago, they played the Knicks, Memphis, and, of course, last night, right? Those are the three games that you really were in. You should have won. But we know coaching down the stretch, you're just not there yet, okay? But really, really ticks me off watching these games is more than the fact that they can't close out. It's the way they can't close out. And they can't hit foul shots. And the turnovers. And not being able to shoot or not being able to feed the ball into the paint. Even though they outscored that team, I believe it was 50 to 36 yesterday. When you can't create shots, let's drive to the hole. Miami Heat shot 25 foul shots to your 12 yesterday, and you can't get a shot out. Why don't you drive to the hole? Explain that to me.
I don't have an answer for you, JT, because I'm as pissed as you are about it, because who dominated yesterday? If you watched that game, the eye test tells you, and if you look at the box score, it tells you who dominated for the Cavs yesterday. It was Evan Mobley. He was playing arguably his best game as a Cavalier. Forget his career high in points. This was against a playoff caliber team. And he's a second-year guy, and he was the best player on the floor yesterday for the Cavaliers. And down the stretch, they ignored him.
That offense, it doesn't even exist. When I watch this team, I really think it resembles the old stanky leg offense when LeBron was here. They throw a ball in. Nobody moves around. How many times are we going to pass the ball? If you're the Cavaliers, it's one. You're one and done. You feed the ball to Mobley. He dribble, 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 shoot. Too much dribbling on this team. Even the point guards, they dribble too much.
Well, Mobley, I can't say anything bad about him yesterday. He made, what, 11 of 15
he's shots trying.
Or 12 of 16, right? He blocked three or four shots. He had 11 rebounds. I mean, he was everywhere yesterday, and he had the hot hand, and they didn't have an answer for him, right? and yet they went away from him. And right. Donovan Mitchell shoots 11 or 12 threes, and he's not making anything. He was disappointing yesterday. The reason they brought him here was for games like this. When the other team's super, Jimmy Butler, right?
Yeah.
You've got Donovan Mitchell to answer. Mm-hmm. Well, Jimmy Butler scored 23. Donovan Mitchell had 16. He scored 1 point in the fourth quarter yesterday, Donovan Mitchell. And so that's why you traded three first-round mm-hmm. picks and three players. You know, he's supposed mm-hmm. to carry you in games like this,
right.
and he did not. And Darius Garland, JT, you put a little pressure on him. You bump him with a forearm or a hip.
He's going flying.
He's done, man. Mm-hmm. He's done. Mm-hmm. He doesn't like playing physical basketball.
Right, and we get back to this Okoro, too, because I believe there was 2 minutes and 30 seconds left. The Cavaliers are down by three. He hits a corner three. Hey! Great job! I didn't think he was going to do it. I'm waiting for, you know, the bricklaying sounds, clank, clank. But no, he makes it. And then, like you said, the very next, I think it was the next time, the next trip, he steps out of bounds. And you're a professional athlete in the NBA. You're supposed to know where you're at on the floor at all times. I'm sorry. And I know it happens occasionally. But you're not seeing the good players and the good teams make stupid mistakes like that. They don't make turnovers, and they make their foul shots. Period. You can't win in this league if you can't score when the time's not moving.
JT, they were 6 of 12 from the free
throw
line yesterday. 6 of 12 from the line. 50%, that's awful, okay, against the Miami Heat. These were the two best defensive teams in the NBA playing yesterday. And mm-hmm. let's give the Cavaliers some credit. Their defense was pretty good for the most part, okay? For the most part, it was. 197, that's a low-scoring game in today's NBA. So every point matters. Every possession matters. You know what? You turn the ball over because you're driving to the basket mm-hmm. and you get up in the air and they're going to block it and you turn it. That's fine. Okay, you were being aggressive at least. The unforced turnovers, not knowing where the hell you are on the court, stepping out of bounds, one-handed lazy pass,
right.
Trying to throw it through four defenders. You can't have those unforced errors.
They can't create because they don't move the ball on offense. Every bucket was tough to come by. There was nobody open. It was like watching the Browns receivers with no separation. And I'm going to temper my expectations right now because, as I said yesterday, if a team gets on a roll and really starts playing well together, then we know things can happen. And they haven't won two games back-to-back since, like, the beginning of January. And speaking of which, they were only 7-8 in the month. Not good enough if you aspire to be a championship-caliber team. That being said, let's pump the brakes a little bit and maybe lower our expectations this season, because as we saw at the beginning of the year, you know, they lose the first game, you're wondering, okay, well, wait a minute. But then they rattle off eight straight. Now all of a sudden everybody's, hey, we're a playoff team. Hey, we're going to be the best team in the East. No, you're not, and you're not there with the elite teams yet. So maybe you're still a year or so away, and we probably expect that anyway. So rather than get all ticked off over the game last night, I look at it this way. You're a 500 team, man. You're just a 500 team. That team right now isn't good enough to compete with the Bostons, the Philadelphia. I know they have a better record than Toronto, but Toronto gives them fits. Miami obviously is, like we said, a much better, an older team, veteran-led team that can score and they can make their own. They can out-muscle you when it comes down to crunch time in the paint. Adebayo was moving Jared Allen around like he didn't exist. They are a 500 team.
JT, I watched this game, and I charted the last 3 minutes. Cavaliers 1-4 from the field, 2-4 from the free throw line, 2 turnovers
terrible.
For 5 points in the final 3 minutes. The Heat, 3 of 7 from the field. They only took 1 3-pointer. Imagine that, right? They were only 2 of 4 from the line as well, but they had 4 offensive rebounds, and that's where Anunoby, or what the hell's his name, for them last night, the Heat?
Adebayo?
Adebayo.
Bam, bam.
Bam, bam, and I call Anna Ginobili. Those extra possessions in a game of that magnitude really matter. And Isaac Okoro, 5 points, 3 turnovers yesterday for the Cavaliers. The Cavs led 61-55 in the third quarter. And then, and this is what really worries me about J.B. Bickerstaff, they're up 6. Miami, smart move by Spoelstra. He goes to a zone defense. Cavaliers come down, and they're running their man-to-man offense. against a zone defense. Mm-hmm. They're trying to dribble through traps and dribble through a zone. And anybody that knows anything about basketball, when a team plays a zone, you don't beat a zone by dribbling. Mm-hmm. You beat a zone by passing the ball, moving without the ball, because when you dribble, it gives them time to react and recover. When you pass, you can't keep up with the ball. Mm-hmm. The ball has energy, and you can't keep up with it. And the way you attacked that zone last night, and they did it one time, and Mobley got a nice easy shot around the rim, is you pass it to the middle, foul line extended, turn and face, and then you go downhill 3-on-2 on them yesterday.
Hey, man, we make fun
and
of
they
it.
Failed to do that.
Every day on the show, we make fun of it. Norman Dale, was his birthday yesterday, 93 years old, whatever. Right. How many times are we going to pass the ball? Four. What happens on that extra pass? Usually you find somebody wide open at the bucket, right? How many times do we pass the ball? Four. You ever hear of Caleb Martin shot 4 of 5 from three last night? I mean, the woes aren't simply on offense, and even though you held the team to 100 points, it wasn't a great defensive effort, in my opinion. When a guy shoots 4 of 5 from three, you'd think you might want to guard the guy.
Yeah, and Tyler Hero, 18 points, hit some big shots where Garland didn't. So the Stars, let's just break it down this way. The Stars for the Heat outplayed the Stars for the Cavaliers. Butler, 23 points to Mitchell, 16. Hero's 18 points to Garland's 16. And if you want to say Mobley edged his guy 19 to 18, right? So he's the only one who really answered the bell yesterday in a game of that magnitude. Mm-hmm. We're going to hear from Donovan Mitchell a little bit later on. And he says some good things, and then he kind of falls back and is trying to, you know, the world's not ending, the sky's not falling. And I get that. You want to stay positive, and you still have like 30 games left and whatnot. But just frustrating to see that again happen where down the stretch – they collapse.
They're absolutely frustrating to watch. And when you look at it, and we told you yesterday, they're a 4.5-point favorite. In a close game, if you can't close out, it's one of two things. It's either your talent or your coaching. In this case, it's a little bit of both, I think.
Right.
But they're not proving that if it does come down to coaching, that they can get a leg up on the other team, on their opponent. I think a lot of this goes back to, and we talked about it not just this year, last season as well, and I know you're going to say there was a lot of injuries last year, but J.B. Bickerstaff has a hard time putting his rotation together. And usually it's matchup driven. But when the second unit proves that they can't score, now he's really lost. And I think that's a lot of the problem. And you're waiting for Dean Wade, and you're waiting for Ricky Rubio. Maybe you're still waiting for Caris LeVert to be a little bit more consistent. I don't know. But all I know is that when the starters come out, you're at a real disadvantage because you can't score the ball.
They need help.
Yes.
Right? They need another scorer off the bench. That's why, as crazy as it sounded yesterday, I mentioned Carmelo Anthony. I'll give you some other names. I did some more research.
Well, the McDermott guys are what everybody's been talking about.
Well, I'm not talking about a trade.
I understand. But all I'm saying is every time something like this happens, you start hearing the same names.
Yeah.
I don't know if that means where there's smoke, there's fire.
I'm sure there are conversations going on. I don't know if it will actually go down a trade. So that's why instead of looking for trades, I looked for, and what did I come up with here? I came up with 5 unrestricted free agents that are available right now. None of them worthy of starting in the NBA.
No.
Some of them maybe not much better than what you have, but you have a roster spot to fill. So why not explore these guys? And I'll just, you know what? I'll just give them to you right now. No sense. We talked about one of them yesterday, Carmelo Anthony. Mm-hmm. Okay, averaged 13 points a game for the Lakers last year. Don't know what kind of shape he's in, even if he wants to play, but he's listed as an unrestricted free agent at that 3-4 position where the Cavaliers need help, right? Jeremy Lamb. He's listed as a shooting guard, 6'5", 180. He averaged 7 points a game last year for Indiana and Sacramento. He played at UConn, good outside shooter, just real thin, kind of fits in with the finesse style of the Cavaliers. He's available out there. Kent Bazemore, last year played with the Lakers, only averaged 3 points and 36% shooting from beyond the arc. Not anything exciting, but he could fill a roster spot. Ben McLemore averaged 10 a game last year for Portland, and he's 29 years old. He's a shooting guard, small forward. 36% from three-point range last year. He's available. And Wayne Ellington, last year, 43 games for the Lakers, 7 points a game. He's a good outside shooter. Mm-hmm. He's one of those shooting guards, small forwards. Now, those names, you're all probably saying, Roadman, they all suck. They're not playing in the NBA for a reason. And you're correct. Absolutely. These guys, everybody passed on him. But if you have an extra roster spot and you're not going to be able to do anything via a trade, why not see if you can catch lightning in a bottle with one of these guys, mm-hmm. sign them for the remainder of the year or a 10-day contract, then a second 10-day contract, and see if you just happen to get lucky with somebody, and that's why I would start with Carmelo Anthony.
Hold that thought for a second. I'm going to agree with you. Are you sitting down?
I am.
I don't know if you watched the entire game yesterday, but we're watching the Miami Heat, a proven team. We keep telling you they're veteran-led. Okay, we get that. They've also had long roads in and rides into the playoffs where they've won series, played for a title. Did you notice yesterday when they said that team has more undrafted players on their roster than any other team in the NBA? Why wouldn't you go find somebody who can shoot the ball? Just because, you know, it's almost as if, and I hate to keep mentioning the Browns, it's almost as if we drafted them, we have to stick with them. I've had enough Isaac Okoro. I'm sorry. I know they drafted him, and maybe they're just trying to put him out there so maybe at the trade deadline they can move him. But if he's going to cost you victories, not that this one is, let's face it, it's just another bump in the road because it's a long season, but you like to win these games when at least they're close, right? Is it a must win? No. Did you need it? After what you told me that Donovan Mitchell said, and he's, you know, waffling back and forth, maybe you do need that game last night. Maybe that's a win that you can build on versus being 500 in the month of January. Moving forward, you start to get on a roll. Maybe you believe in yourself a little bit more.
They got to do something. They need something. Chris Fedor, thank you very much. He did the research for me, so I didn't have to today in his story at Cleveland.com. Cavaliers now have played 11 games where it's one possession, meaning 3 points or less. Okay. Cavaliers are 4-7 in those 11 games that are one possession. I thought it was worse.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like 2-9. Mm-hmm. But they're 4-7 in those one possession games. And those are the type of games you're going to play if you get into the playoffs or the play-in game.
Yeah.
Right? Those are the games where you have to be able to find a way to win, and they're struggling doing that. And for me, again, I know that Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland, 49 points a game, one of the top scoring backcourts in the NBA, that's great. But when you two are struggling and the outside shot isn't going and Evan Mobley's dominating inside, then you run it through Evan Mobley.
Right. Because it was obvious they weren't going to take over the game last night. This wasn't one of the games where we see it, and we've seen it this year, where Donovan Mitchell takes over in the fourth quarter. That team played such good defense that no one could create a shot. That's when you get the turnovers. That's when the passing lanes shrivel up. And then when you do drive, if you did, and they didn't that often, because like we said, they only shot 12 times from the foul line, somebody's got to create. Somebody's got to get to the lane because nobody's open to make a three, and if they were, they would probably miss it.
The great teams get a feel for the game that day. Not what you've done all season, right? Not what you're known for all season. That night. What's working that night? They get a feel. That's where the Magic Johnsons, the Larry Birds, the Michael Jordan, the Kobe, they had a just that ability to feel the game as it's happening, adjust their game if need be, and go to what was working that night. Mm-hmm. And the Cavaliers, for whatever reason, didn't realize that Jared Allen and Evan Mobley were their best offensive options.
So you're watching this game last night, and you watch this offense. Did you ever see them run a play? I mean, a regular play on the half-court offense. Because it just seemed as though everybody stands around and waits for either Donovan Mitchell or Darius Garland to make a move. And if those two aren't even on the floor, it really resembles nothing, in my opinion. Did you see any offensive movement?
The one time Evan Mobley scored, when I mentioned it earlier against the zone, it looked like it was a set play where they moved the ball in, out, side to side, then back in, and he got an easy jump hook around the basket. That's it.
But you think of a Golden State, and all you see is movement.
Yeah. Well, that's, again, remember, those guys have been with each other.
And I know that's their offense. Our offense will never resemble that. I get that. But occasionally, and especially after a timeout, and another thing with J.B. Bickerstaff last night, he burned all his timeouts. He didn't go home with any, but he burned them too early. So he still doesn't know how to work the clock.
Yeah, I'm starting to get concerned about him as the coach, okay? I thought it was a good move to, you know, when they signed him to the contract extension. He seemed to, you know, the guys in there, and maybe we need to give him a little more time, too, as he's got a young team, and maybe he is preaching those things, and they're just not doing them on the court. I've got it. What I'll do, JT, I'll talk to Chris Fedor off the air and Sam Amico off the air and, you know, see what they're hearing about that. Mm-hmm. Is it JB maybe out of his league a little bit, especially when you're going up against Spoelstra and some of the veteran coaches? Or is he telling them what to do and they're just not doing it?
Good point.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a possibility. It really is. But I'm with you, man. I've seen enough of Isaac Okoro. Mm-hmm. If he's the 15th man on my team, fine. Hell, if he's the 13th guy on my team, fine. But when he's the 6th or 7th man, you can't count on him. Or, in this case, he's starting, so he's one of the top 5. That's not good.
A week ago, I thought they're going to showcase Jetty Osmond because they want to package him in a deal. Now you can. How many times are you going to go back to the well and say, they're trying to showcase Isaac Okoro because we want to see if somebody might make a deal for him? And, oh, his shooting has been great the last month and a half. Come on, man. I'm not falling for it. They're a 500 team, Kenny. That is a 500 team right now. Can they get better? We'll see.
Yeah, we're going to find out. And we're going to hear from Donovan Mitchell and what he had to say after the game last night.
What about Tawny? Can we talk about Tawny?
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Should
we go to break?
What you mean.
Tommy says he's retiring. I don't believe him. Do you think Tommy's going to really stay retired this time?
No. We'll get into that because I'm with you. I think Tommy's just taking a chance to be in the spotlight again here on February 1st like he did last year, and then he's going to sign with the 49ers.
And he reached out, and he was on Twitter, and he did it this morning. He said he wanted to do it on Twitter before anybody else could wake up or see it, or one of the forms of social media.
Yeah.
I think it's an attempt to get Giselle back.
No. You know why?
Why?
Did you hear what he said?
Well, no,
here's
but I know he mentioned his exes.
No. Well, no, here's what he said. He went through it, and he said, now, I have no regrets with my career.
Oh,
none.
Wait. I take it back. That's the reason he played the extra year. He wanted out of that marriage.
Well, there you go. And so I took
a
shot at his ex-wife right there saying, yeah, okay, we got divorced. I don't regret that. I'm glad I came back and played another year. That's what I took from that entire retirement Instagram post this morning.
His way out. I wonder if he's going to show up for that field goal kick with Gronk at the Super Bowl. That would be hysterical.
It would.
What if
he held for Gronk?
What if he held for Gronk?
That'd be great, man. Fantastic. JT, I don't think he's done. Now, maybe he's got some ridiculous TV contract where he doesn't, you know, he'll make as much money as he was being the quarterback, and that's very possible. But I don't think he's done because I think there's one team specifically that's going to come hard after him and beg him to sign with them because they think they're a Super Bowl winning quarterback away.
Could be.
All right? Yeah. Let's get a break, and when we come back, I'll tell you who that team
is. Don't go, Tommy.
And then we'll hear from Donovan Mitchell
come
at the bottom of the
New
hour
England.
As well.
Come back to New England. Chowda.
The Road Manager. Chowda. 1480 WHBC. Chowda.